So here's a slice of human experience that you may have seen. It's a family gathering. The cookies and sweets are over here on the table. The fireplace is blazing. Three young children are squealing on the floor. They're ripping open wrapping paper. They're laughing in delight as they discover each new gift. Standing off in the shadows, off to the side, is Uncle John. He smiles broadly as he watches the kids. He takes another sip from his beverage, chats with his brother-in-law. As the party winds up, everybody begins to put on their coats and say goodbye. Children are tired. One of them's whining. Another one is loaded down with chocolate. Everybody has something from the gifty exchange until someone says, "Oh, John, I just realized you didn't receive any gifts. I'm so sorry. I don't know how that could happen." John says, "It's nothing." Douglas says, "What? John, you can't leave here empty-handed. Here, I got two scarves. Why don't you take one?" John says, "No, that's fine. I've enjoyed watching everybody else, especially the kids. That's what I'm doing tonight." "But John, you've been so generous with everyone else. Can't we send something home with you? Look, here's some kielbasa. It's hardly been touched. Some unopened cheese." "Thanks," says John, "but Christmas is for all of you. That's what gives me joy." At this, his unburdened niece grabs him by the waist and declares emphatically, "But Uncle John, Christmas is for you too." In spite of all our happy songs and good wishes tonight, there are some people who may feel left out. They watch from a distant smile. They take some small pleasure in the joy of others, particularly the children, but there's something missing, and maybe it's they who have been missed. It happens more than the slim majority realizes. The far-off soldier who hasn't received any mail for a while. The woman who was hired as seasonal help is given her notice now and not much else. The daughter who hasn't spoken to her father for 20 years wonders if this will be the year. The freshly divorced man opens the small package from his small children. One of them says, "Mom thought you should get something this year." So my sermon is not for the person who has everything, but for the person who finds something missing. Is there anything here tonight for them too? The question resonates from stories of our childhood, stories that often kind of orbit around this one, especially the ones of holiday cartoons and stop-action specials, which kind of shaped me. Charlie Brown gets the wrong Christmas tree and then fears that he's killed it with a big red ornament. Or on the island of misfit toys, it's Charlie in the box and the spotted elephant wondering if this is the year that Santa will actually retrieve them. The Grinch hides up on his icy mountain, listening to the celebration in Whoville and feeling far left out. Is there anything in Christmas for them? Now, the story that gets to the heart of this, of course, is the story of the shepherds from the Gospel of Luke. Now, we glorify them in pageants, we sing about them in carols, but they were rascals, they were scallywags. As someone said, the shepherds in the first century were like the cowboys in American fiction. They were the heroes of all the legends, but you'd never want your daughter to marry one. The Jerusalem establishment banned the shepherds from the Jewish temple. They were considered thieves. They let their flocks graze on land that did not belong to them. They refused to prohibit their sheep from eating unkosher food. The prevailing religious notion was there's nothing nothing for the shepherds. But then Luke says Christmas comes and specifically goes straight to them, skips the temple, skips the palace, goes to these unnamed herders of sheep. And the angel says, to you is born a Savior. Christmas is for you people, for all of you. That's the announcement, that's the news. And the shepherds have to get moving to see what this actually might mean. Well, it means, first of all, that they've been found, that they've been noticed, that heaven sees them and comes close to them. It means that they've not been cast off or forgotten as those who don't count. It means that there is a goodness and a power at work in the world that is a whole lot better than whatever they've seen recently. And it means that the dreariness of their routines has been interrupted by a song. There is something more, and it is for them. You know, we hear these stories. We wonder if this could be true. Like a few days ago in a restaurant in Phoenix, I don't know if you caught this one, a waitress named Sarah was wiping down tables. She's 9 months pregnant. She has to work, so she's working the tables. A customer comes in to pick up a takeout order. Sarah rings her out. The woman leaves. And then Sarah realizes that she has just been given a $900 tip. And the customer wrote on the receipt, "This is God's money. He gave it to us so that we could give it to you. Merry Christmas." Now, what if that's a picture of the actual truth? Not merely the money, but the goodness behind it. What if God really does come? What if God has already slipped in beside us? You know, that's the astonishing thing of all this, that the Savior doesn't descend like a superhero with a cape, but he comes and is found as a peasant child just like the rest of us. That he's wrapped in bands of cloth, the peasant's way of protecting the infant's body, that he lies in the straw of a feeding trough, not high and mighty like everybody thinks he should be, but lowly and common with us. That's the miracle. That the goodness of God finds us, that it hides among us as a child, waiting to be found and waiting until it transforms us. Now, I suppose tomorrow will be another day. Maybe for you, I got to get up and do this again. It'll be another day. Mary will start nursing. Against his will and better judgment, Joseph will start changing diapers. The shepherds will be back in the fields, watching their flocks, chasing away the wolves, waiting for a little excitement again. You and I will continue our holiday rounds. We'll welcome family. We'll get rid of family. We'll be glad that family is gone. Then we'll collapse in exhaustion. There'll be meals to prepare, laundry to wash, chores to do, and maybe even someday snow to shovel. And in the midst of all these daily tasks, it's easy to get caught up in what must be done. It's easy to think that's all there is. But tonight, for a moment, let the darkness be punctured by light. Let the residue of a good song stay with you. Let an ancient story prepare you for the possibility of seeing the angel's wing flutter behind the cypress tree. Let the good news come that there is no place you or I can go that is beyond the embracing, forgiving, cleansing love of God. This is my prayer for you. That the love, peace, and joy that everybody else is singing about will also be for you. Right in the middle of your messy, unfinished life. that God will come, that God will stay. Believe it if you can, because Christmas is for you.